Welcome to The Expert Vet. I'm Tracy Hotchner, here with my co-host, Dr. Donna Spector in Chicago, who is The Expert Vet. She's a board-certified veterinary internist here to help explain medical conditions in dogs and cats. If you'd like to hear more episodes of this show or any of the Pet Talk radio shows I co-host with experts, please go to RadioPetLady.com and visit the podcast libraries. The Expert Vet is a production of Pet Media, Inc. and Dr. Donna Spector, which are solely responsible for its content. I also produce the Dog Film Festival, which celebrates the love between dogs and their people and the rescue groups that bring them together. Sponsored by a grant from the Petco Foundation, the festival is traveling across the country. You can find more information on the website, dogfilmfestival.com. This show is brought to you with the generous support of Halo, holistic, natural dog and cat foods, which are made from real ingredients you can recognize. Halo uses real meat in their kibble, no rendered byproducts, chicken meal, or chemicals. And their new grain-free recipes like Vigor give you even more healthy choices for your pet's dinner, while Daily Greens brings vitamins and digestive enzymes into your dog's diet. Halo is a private company partly owned by Ellen DeGeneres, where they emphasize giving back by making donations to shelters through freekibble.com for pets awaiting their forever homes. Dr. Donna, here we are in the holiday cold weather season. You're the mother of not only Gabby, the beautiful young gal who's an adolescent, but three young humans as well. Strep throat, is that as well? Of course, Gabby comes first, especially having met her. She's such a winner. And those of you that wonder how did Dr. Donna wind up with three young children and a puppy, well, because one of your clients had one puppy more than they anticipated, right?
Yes, indeed.
That was just so lucky, and that puppy fell in your lap, and she is a winner. I have to give you a lot of credit for how good she is. But strep throat, dogs and people, what's going on with that? Is there a relationship? Do dogs get strep throat? Do they give strep throat?
Yeah, so it's a great question, because I cannot tell you how many hundreds of times it seems like I get a client that comes in, and the usual situation is in a household, there's been strep throat in either multiple family members or most time usually a child has had repeated bouts of strep throat. And with my three young children, yes. I mean, someone has strep throat at least five times during the winter season.
Wow.
And so people come in with instructions from their family doctor, you got to test the dog because he's the likely culprit. So unfortunately, those doctors are really uninformed, because strep throat is caused by a group A strep, and it's called strep pyogenes. And it's a bacteria definitely that's found in the throat and the skin of a lot of times healthy people. And while it is, you know, it is the main driver of strep throat, it can cause some more severe infections too, but strep throat is generally what it causes. It is, you know, it's typically spread between people, from both people that are sick and, you know, when they cough and they sneeze and you've got aerosol spread, but also healthy carriers. The key point is up to 20% of school age kids, so 5 to 15 years of age, up to 20% of them carry strep asymptomatically.
Wow.
And so, again, strep carriage, this kind of strep, group A strep pyogenes, carrying it by dogs and cats is extremely rare. And if they do have it, it's more likely that it came from a person. But it, you know, they're just really highly unlikely to be involved in transmission to people.
So why do human doctors point at the dog? Is it because what would be the point in that? Since we know that it's an interhuman species illness that's been around for a long time, keeps a lot of moms and dads and kids in the pediatrician's office. When did the finger suddenly get pointed at dogs?
So, you know, as you can imagine, I mean, part of this is staying up on current literature, because there were definitely some older studies that implicated dogs in the transmission of this group A strep. But there were really a lot of weaknesses in those studies, because we'll tell you why. If you culture the back of a dog's throat, guaranteed you're going to get strep, because dogs carry strep in their mouths. They carry strep of different forms, though. It's not strep pyogenes. It's not a group A strep. And most veterinary labs are not even speciating the strep, because it is, you know, it's not group A strep. It's just not what dogs carry. And so if you kind of think back to older studies that were done, they're like, wow, this family was having a problem with strep throat. We cultured the dog at the vet's office and it had strep too. But when now that we have more fine-tuned DNA testing and bacteria grouping and subtyping, I mean, and those tests have been done. Dr. Scott Weiss is a veterinary microbiologist at Ontario at the University of Guelph, and he's huge in this strep field because
– interesting.
And so there's just a lot of new information, and just like some vets don't stay current on the most current stuff, I mean, human doctors are the same way. Are they staying current? And also, I feel for doctors when I come in for the fifth time in a season.
Yes, yes.
And the doctor's like, oh, my gosh, you have strep throat again. I mean, mothers, fathers, they want answers. Well, what's happening? Why do we all have it? And
right.
So it's just kind of like, well, you know, there's the possibility that the dog's involved, and you know how it happens. But what we, when the veterinarian, hopefully veterinarians are getting better and better on this topic, there is definitely no convincing evidence that pets are a source of strep throat. And so when I have a family that comes in and says, we're having strep, I say, fantastic. There are a number of reasons, especially kids and families, have recurrent problems. One is the asymptomatic carrier. My daughter,
Lexi,
is an asymptomatic carrier of strep. So she never, ever gets sick with strep, ever. But she gives it to everyone. You know, when her play dates come down with, like, the fever and sore throat, I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. You should never test it for strep.
So, but, in other words, Lexi Spector is basically Typhoid Mary, but for strep.
Is.
And so, I'll be darned. And you guys are very, conscious of hand washing and Kleenex using. So how does a healthy carrier transmit it? Just by touching her crayons and her pencils?
Right, exactly. You know, and kids, you know, licking their fingers, putting the, you know, whatever. So we obviously do work with Lexi on, like, personal hygiene so that she's not touching other people's things. Because we, as a parent, have a responsibility. I hate to say it, but I inform her play dates. I'm like, listen, she has a tendency to carry strep, and so let's be really cognizant of that today. And I've had people turn me down because it's like they don't want it in their house, and I totally get that. So,
I have a friend who won't let somebody come to dinner if they have a cold.
Right.
Now, I don't know if that's extreme or not, but when someone calls her, she loves to entertain and says, you know, I'm in a coma, or I'm not feeling well, or I think I'm coming down with something. She says, stay home, and she's not kidding.
Right.
But, of course, she travels all over the country for her interior design business. So, I'm sure an airplane is the worst incubator of all, right?
Yes, absolutely. And then, so, again, these asymptomatic carriers are out there in force. 20%, that's a lot.
That's a lot.
And then, so then you send your treated kid back into the school environment. Well, they could get reinfected from the same kid, a different kid. Just it's a bacteria. You get no immunity from the infection.
Right.
So once you're
done
with antibiotics, you can go back into that environment, start licking other kids' crayons, and have it back. And then the other thing that is a common source of recurrence is poor compliance with antibiotics because, say a kid takes an antibiotic, they're doing well after 3 or 4 days. The antibiotic might be giving them diarrhea. They don't feel well. They have a stomach ache because antibiotics are yucky. And so the parent's like, oh, they feel fine. And so, you know, the antibiotic isn't for the full 10 days. Maybe it gets 5 days or 7 days, and you don't get full clearance, and then they have recurrent problems. So
is that also, Donna, where people, both with their pets and with their humans, don't finish a full course of antibiotics, does it actually create antibiotic-resistant strains of bacteria? You actually are strengthening the power of that bacteria.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. It is one reason that we see antibiotic resistance is poor compliance. Yeah.
So, and that can be life-threatening to dogs or people eventually.
Right. Absolutely.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about an article in the New York Times, and I recently interviewed the human medical doctor who talked about why not to let your dog lick you in the face or lick you, and then, I don't know. It's certainly a topic, and it fits into this. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about licking and how careful we have to be about that. We'll be right back. This show is brought to you by Halo Holistic Natural Dog and Cat Foods, which are made with only whole meats, never any rendered meat meals like chicken meal or byproduct meal. Dogs love meat and cats are obligate carnivores, so optimum nutrition starts with meat that their bodies can best utilize. With responsibly sourced ingredients, slow cooked in small batches, independent tests have shown Halo foods are highly digestible so your pet's bodies can absorb the nutrients. When you feed your pet Halo food, at the same time you'll be nourishing less fortunate shelter pets, because for every purchase you make, Halo gives a bowl of food to shelters. Support for this show also comes from VaxaCheck, a simple test done right in your vet's office to discover whether your dog or puppy is protected from the deadly core diseases or needs revaccination. If you are among the people concerned about over-vaccinating your pet, whether young or old, VaxaCheck can help you and your veterinarian make the best decision about vaccinating in your individual situation. Shelters can use VaxaCheck on new arrivals to separate healthy dogs from unprotected ones and avoid unnecessarily over-vaccinating dogs. VaxaCheck for your dog's safety and your peace of mind. And VaxaCheck for cats is coming soon. Dr. Donna Spector, we're back talking about strep throat, how dogs don't bring it to people, but that people give it to people. Mm-hmm. What sort of thing do you yourself in your practice and with your kids have people be more vigilant than they ordinarily would about how much transmittal of dog saliva happens? Because I guess it's the dog's saliva in the licking. How important is that, do you really think?
It's a great question. Obviously, dogs lick people all the time, and very few people get sick. But that whole old adage that the dog's mouth is cleaner than a human and it has it's not so bad – every dog has something in its mouth that could kill a person in the right situation. I mean, the same could be said of every person's mouth.
Yes,
as
every
well
cat.
As the door,
and what
as
about
well
every
as the
cat?
The doorknobs that you touch.
Yes.
And all the surfaces. I mean, yes. We are exposed to major disease-causing bacteria incredibly often, probably several times a day.
Yes.
So putting it into perspective, the overall risk of disease from a dog lick is low, but there is some risk, and it's wise not to ignore it, especially in certain situations. People who have compromised immune systems. What does that mean? That means if you are an HIV, you know, if you have HIV,
yep.
if you're undergoing
yep.
chemotherapy for
right.
something, if
right.
you're on steroids for something, an immune disorder, if you are ill with something else and, you know, sick with just something else and your immune system is busy working on that. Also, people who don't have a spleen, and that's a big one. You know, some people have been in a car accident, had their
That's
spleen
right.
removed, you know, for benign reasons and various things, but they are particularly at risk of a certain bacteria in dogs' mouths. It's a capnocytophaga is what it's called, but
oh, that's a mouthful.
It's not
I'm very impressed. Very impressed.
Also, very young people, less than 5 years of age, who don't have their full immune system developed, and then elderly people in nursing homes and healthcare facilities,
right.
pregnant women. Okay, that's our laundry list if you kind of go through and who are the most at risk. So, you know, your three-year-old kid, I mean, ideally, no, we don't share the ice cream cone. We don't let the dog lick the face. You know, pregnant women. So a lot of it is such common sense. And then there are also certain situations that increase risk. If you have broken skin, you know, on your body anywhere, licking mucous membranes, mouth, nose, eyes, and you would be amazed how many people allow their pets to, like, lick off their eyes.
Ew. Well, I have to tell you that I have always disliked dogs that lick
right.
myself, just personally. I don't like it.
Right.
So, of course, what does the universe send me? Two of these Weimaraners who
lickers.
Oh, God. And, you know, and they just and there's no escaping it. You go down to give them a kiss. I mean, I'd like to kiss them on the cheek. And they want to French kiss me, and they
right.
sometimes succeed. So, and then sometimes I'm at the computer, and for a while I thought Maisie was being an emotional support dog and saying, "Lady, you should get up from the computer more often. You work too hard." But then really it was she wanted emotional support. She was bored.
Right.
So she licks my hands, and she licks my arm, mm-hmm. and she licks my calf, and I go, "I hate licking dogs,
mm-hmm.
but I love you."
Right.
What do you do? I mean, you know, sometimes you get these swipes. You can't run around with antibacterial gel all
right.
the time. Or should you?
No. I mean, don't run screaming from the room to douse yourself with disinfectant.
Right.
I mean, it's
right.
not like – but, you know, again, and if it's like on your calf or wherever, again, it's not a high-risk area. It's not like she, you know, licked you right in the mouth. And if she did, you know, yeah, go rinse your mouth. You know, it's common sense stuff. But, you know, these – high-risk people shouldn't be licked by dogs, ideally.
Now, when you said pregnant women, having spent
a great deal of time
in my life writing pregnancy and childbirth in these pregnancy books, I have no memory of being told that a woman's immune system is in any way compromised or depressed while pregnant. Tell me about
yes.
that.
Well, I mean, the answer is yes, you are immune compromised. And do I know the exact physiology of that? Probably not. But
it's true.
But it's true. And I'm a perfect example of that. I acquired a gastrointestinal illness from my daycare child. One that you would get exposed to as a normal immune competent adult, and it would never bother you. Maybe you'd have a little diarrhea, a tiny bit, move on. It put me in the hospital with sepsis and a fever. And, you know, it is, and I don't know if it's because you're, you know, feeding the immune system of the fetus and what have you, but it is a real fact of life that you are immune compromised. So
all kissing should be kept between humans, but not with a human who has any kind of an illness. So if your kid or anyone else in the family had strep, and by the way, don't blame the dog, thank you very much,
right,
would that mean that person is immune compromised at that time because their body, with the help of antibiotics, please take the full course of them,
yes,
is fighting it off? Are they compromised at that time?
Anytime you have an illness, strep throat, the common cold, you know, any sort of illness, your body, your immune system is busy working on that. So if it gets exposed to something else, it's like, whoa, I'm already busy over here.
I'll be darned.
With virus A, so don't bother me with a bacteria
right
over here. So yes, those are transiently, you know, temporarily immune compromised individuals.
So the strep that this marvelous researcher at Guelph did study, that strep in the back of a dog's throat is not related to the strep that happens to people.
No, it's not a group A strep.
And most dogs have it, and do they have quote-unquote strep throat, or
no,
it's just a benign condition to them?
It's just another one of the bacteria that's commonly found in the mouth and throat region. I mean, it's not a pathogen. It's not something that's disease-causing.
Interesting. Okay, when we come, we're going to take another quick break. When we come back, just another couple of quick questions on this topic of dogs and what they can give to us, and something you mentioned that we wanted to go into a little bit more detail, whether a dog licking your wound is good for you, which is a pretty creepy idea. We aren't living in the jungle. We'll be right back after this quick break. This show is made possible in part by Precious Cat Litter, owned by Dr. Elsie, who has his own cats-only clinic in Colorado. He has devoted his life to inventing innovative litters for the health of all members of the family, and now has broken new ground by creating a healthy, dry, and canned food for kitties called Clean Protein. Clean Protein was inspired by the protein levels found in a cat's natural prey, and 90% of the protein in the Clean Protein kibble and cans is animal-based. Not the plant-based ingredients in traditional dry cat food like grains, potato, vegetables, and fruits that are high in oxalate and lead to rapid metabolization, which actually increases your cat's hunger. The primary ingredients in Dr. Elsie's Clean Protein are the highest biological value proteins available, and the result is that your cat's appetite is satisfied longer without compromising her health. If you want to feed dry food to your cat, even as part of her diet, make the healthier choice. The proof is in the protein, Clean Protein. This show is also brought to you by Best Pet RX, a unique compounding pharmacy for pets in New York City. They can turn any medication for dogs and cats into a custom-flavored oral paste, chewable tablet, or a liquid that your pet will actually like. And Best Pet RX will keep trying formulations at no extra charge and offer same-day delivery in New York City and overnight delivery anywhere else so that your pet can happily take the medicine she needs to get well and stay well. Okay, Dr. Donna, to wrap up, there seems to be something, I remember it from cowboy movies. I don't know why I say that. That's just nutty as a fruitcake. But the idea that a dog has some beneficial curative powers in its tongue or saliva, and that, you know, in a pinch, so to speak, that a dog licking your wound can help clean it, that's obviously nutty, right?
It's nutty. Yep. It's
but
not
do a, we sort of, have we heard that? Am I not the only one who's heard
no,
that?
No, and you are. You're right. You're right. And, you know, the old, like, adage of, like, ooh, going into the corner to lick your wounds, you know, I mean.
Right.
You know, it is there, but it is, yes, it's nutty. Might it be better than, like, bathing the wound in dirt? Maybe. I don't know. But, you know, kind of.
That's a hoot.
Just to come, take home message on this as we've kind of circled around.
Higher-risk
people, those who are sick with other things or immune-compromised, young, old, pregnant, should not be ideally licked by dogs. Dogs that are sick or dogs that eat raw meat diets or have other risk
Right.
factors for carrying resistant bacteria. You know, like they should not, you know, that's an increased risk as well. So, you know, so in general, because, and also keep in mind, the other thing we haven't really talked about is people, you know, dogs, if they're licking you and you carry a resistant bacteria like like MRSA.
Oh, my goodness.
So let's just briefly touch, if we have time, you know.
Yeah, sure.
Dogs who go to healthcare facilities, you know, they're visitation dogs. They're buddy dogs. You know, they elderly people love when they come in, and it's so good for the individuals at these facilities. It helps them. It calms them down. It's good for their health.
Yes, yes.
But there is a real risk in a dog going into a facility like that, because that's where things like MRSA, you know, the methicillin-resistant
yes.
Staph aureus, Clostridium difficile, there are all these bacteria that are really bad actors that a dog, by licking a person like that, can actually, they can be colonized and they can hold it in their nose, in their digestive
wow.
system. And so not only is it potentially risky for you to be licked by a dog, like a dog can have certain risks by licking you as well. Now, they may not get sick from a MRSA that's colonized in their nose, but then all of a sudden they're colonized, so the next human they go to in the healthcare facility, they give it to them. And that person,
wow.
they get sick from it. Or they have C. difficile and they come home and then they shed it in the environment, and now all of a sudden this family is exposed to C. difficile. So dogs do play a role in, like, they can carry certain bacteria. Strep throat doesn't tend to be one of them. But
right.
can carry other things by licking people, who, especially people in, like, healthcare facilities or healthcare workers. I have dogs of physicians, you know, people who deal
yes.
with sick people. And those dogs sometimes end up with crazy, like MRSAs and various things, because
wow.
the physician brings them home. So it's very interesting. You know, everybody keep your tongues to yourself.
Yes, I think that is the parting word. Keep your tongue to yourself, folks, and that goes for the pooches as well. I just suddenly had this image, just a parting image, of the golden retriever coming to visit the old folks' home and having to wear a little mask to protect himself.
Right, right.
A little doggy face mask is
right.
just a funny image.
It is.
Thank you so much, Donna. This is great advice, and good to get the dogs off the hook when the fingers get pointed about strep.
Yes.
Thank you all for listening.
Bye.